All right. Good morning, everyone. This is Brandon with the Iowa Healthcare Association, joined by our partners, Molina Healthcare, the newest managed care organization for Iowa's Medicaid population. Today, again, is January 11th, 2023, and we're glad to have Molina with us this morning. We usually cover what informational letters are important, and I know we covered it on our previous call, but I'll again mention the info letters 2411, which is the HCBS cost report requirements, submission requirements. So make sure that if you are a waiver provider and required to submit cost reports, that you look at info letter 2411 to make sure that nothing has changed for you and that you know what those requirements are. Secondly, info letter 2398, which is the EVV implementation. I went to that in depth on our previous call, but basically, the good faith exemption allows for EVV for home health care services to be applicable at the latest 1-1 of 24. And so there is likely going to be a runway to implementing and starting those services for EVV for home health care. But right now, 1-1-23, the home health care services for waiver did go live. And so you should be providing those through EVV now if that is a service you provide. I think that is the S and T codes. So, and then lastly, it was brought up on the previous call that 2399, which is the type of bill frequency code and patient status code. There was a hard deadline for using proper type of bill of 31st of December, and so claims will begin being denied starting 1-1 of 23 if you're not using the proper bill code. So that's on info letter 2399. We have run all these info letters in our bulletin over the last several weeks, and so you can find additional information there or through the info letters on DHS's website. Okay, with that, usually we pause here and see if anyone from Molina would like to, make any opening comments or have anything to discuss with our members, which again is made up of nursing facility, assisted living, RCF, home health, home care providers. So I'll pause here, Tom, see if you or anyone on your team has any comments.
Sure. I think maybe just a couple of introductions. I know Jennifer and I have talked to this group previously. But we are starting to grow in numbers at Molina Healthcare of Iowa. And I have added a couple of team members that I'd like to introduce today. Rondine Anderson is Molina's Director of Provider Service. Rondine comes to us with a wealth of Medicaid managed care experience. I'll let Rondine give you a little more detail on that before then I shift to Mary Brandt. So Rondine, do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, thank you for having me. Rondine Anderson, Director of Provider Services. Been in managed care for the last 8 years now. And a resident of Des Moines. So thanks for having me.
We are pleased to have her, and we're also pleased to have Mary Brandt, who is our Director of Contracting. I think Mary is on day 3. Mary, do you want to introduce yourself?
Thank you, Tom, and thank you, everyone. It's good to be here. Yes, this is day 3 for me, and I will be the Director of Provider Contracting. Much like Rondine, I have been in managed care for the last 8 or so years. Most recently, I come from the corporate contracting world in contracting with providers in brand new markets. But I'm glad to be with Molina.
So, Brandon, the other thing that I would say is I know a lot of providers have been asking about our provider manual. A lot of folks are sitting on contracts, waiting to sign those agreements until they see what our provider manual looks like. I think we have sent in the latest version yesterday to the state. We've had some back and forth with them on comments and edits they wanted to see out of that provider manual. hopefully we are getting to a point where we can post that on our website and also distribute it to those providers who have requested a copy of it. So we are getting close on that. I know providers have been waiting for some time. Thank you for your patience. We just had some details we needed to get through with the state on that document to get approval. And then the other piece is we're really wanting to test claims with providers across Iowa. We think this is critical for us to be successful in our implementation. And so we're hoping that once we get that provider manual out there, get providers comfortable with that document as well as their agreement, that we can start getting signed agreements submitted so we can get providers through credentialing, loaded into our system, and be ready to do claims testing with them. I know Rondine has been working with the internal Molina operations folks to prepare a notice document related to claims testing and also a companion guide that will be sent out to those that are willing to do claims testing with us. And so we will be ready to tee that up once we get providers moved through our system, loaded into our system so they can begin testing those claims. Excuse me. And I think I say this every time when I talk to a group of providers. If you have not received a contract, if you have questions related to your contract, please do not hesitate to send me, Rondine, Mary, an email after this and let us know, and we will get you connected so you can begin that process. I did see in the chat, Brandon, I think it was you that mentioned the Iowa Healthcare Quality. I checked in on that agreement last night or last week. It sounds like that is continuing to move forward. So hoping we can get that agreement wrapped up as well and bring in those providers that will participate under that agreement. So I'll pause there, see if my colleagues have any additional comments.
Awesome. Thanks, Tom. I appreciate that. And I know on our last call here, we talked about putting a group together. And so we are in the process. We reached out, at least Jackie from our office has reached out to several of the members who indicated that they'd like to participate in that group. And so hopefully those providers who are on the call, many of them, if you did want to participate in that group, you should have received an outreach to set up a time. Once we arrive at a date that works for most or everyone, we'll get that over to you and your team to then begin some of those discussions about what challenges exist for providing billing is mainly where we were wanting to go. Was kind of an in the weeds discussion on billing issues.
Absolutely. That's really what we're looking for, is feedback on current challenges you have with the other MCOs. I think the example I've provided in the past is, what are those instances where every time an MCO stubs its toes relative to claims processing, that we want to try to avoid those situations and get that configured accurately in our system out of the gates so that we don't find ourselves in the same predicament. And so that's really the feedback that we're looking for from providers, is tell us what those, you know, perpetual pain points have been, and so we can take that back to our configuration team. The other thing, Brandon, that we should probably bring you up to speed on, and I'm going to let Rondine, because I think she's been a little bit closer to it, and because I'll probably forget the date. I think it may be January 18th. But Rondine, do you want to give a little more insight on an event we're trying to host?
Yes. Yeah, so we have an LTSS listening session for providers at 5:00 on January 17th. And I actually put my email in the chat. So If you would like that Zoom link sent to you, please just reach out and we'll get you that Zoom link, and you can also share it. So I know sometimes on Zoom, you're not able to do that, but with this particular link, you can. So just feel free to pass it around to colleagues. Would love to have as many people in attendance as possible. Thank you.
And this would be in addition to what we've talked about, Brandon, with your small group. We actually have a LTSS member a listening session that is also occurring, and we started to see that there was a number of providers that wanted to have a similar type listening session, and so we decided to split the member and the provider, and so we will have both a member and provider next week listening session, and Rondine can distribute the information relative to it.
That would be great. Yeah, and Rondine, if you could give me the Zoom details at some point, we would be happy to push that out. I don't know that it will make it in our bulletin today, but we do have a distribution avenue that usually goes out to members on Friday that we could include some details if you'd like that to be distributed that way.
Perfect. I'll get that out to you today. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you. Cool. You know, usually we'll dive into questions, and we didn't have pre-submitted questions for this plan yet. We're still obviously early on, in as you mentioned, in contracting and providers wanting to see the provider manual. And I know one that we usually get is, you know, authorizations, and I don't know if we've gotten into that yet, Tom, or not, as far as what will and will not have an authorization, but that's always one of the hot button questions that we have out the gates usually. So
I think we are still working through the details on that, Brandon.
Yep, understandable. So knowing that we don't have pre-submitted questions, obviously if anyone has anything they can throw in the chat, that would be helpful. But you know, I'm going to pivot this again to the discussion that we had yesterday with the department. And I know we brought this up on our call 30 minutes ago. It was about access to home health and community-based care for high care needs individuals. Individuals, I guess, even specifically to paraplegia and quadriplegia. That are having difficulties accessing care. And so I know Molina is obviously a new plan, are not providing those services yet as a payer, but they will obviously begin doing that on 7/1 of 23. And so if there are suggestions or thoughts from the providers on the call here of avenues to make that experience better or make those services more accessible, to those types of individuals. I mean, we're talking individuals who are likely in their, you know, 30s, 40s, who really aren't appropriate for nursing facility type care. Those obviously, if you're in a nursing facility, tend to be elderly individuals. And so, if their needs, if these 30 to 40 year olds needs can be met, at home or with some supports, that is best for their quality of life. And so just wanting to, again, you know, open up some conversation here. Molina was on the call yesterday. Jennifer, plan president, was on the call. And you know, it, like I mentioned earlier, it was a very collaborative conversation between providers, the department, and the MCOs. So all trying to come up with real tangible solutions to improve the lives of Iowans. And so nothing is off the table. You know, we talked a lot about telehealth, expansion of telehealth benefits and including pay-fors for those for the Medicaid program, at least, because that's one area that we can have affect change. You know, discussions about mileage, about reimbursement for home health, about, like I mentioned earlier, potentially, and especially in deserts, If there are healthcare providers there, such as nursing facilities or assisted living, allowing them to go out and venture into the community to provide services. Obviously, there's regulatory barriers in place with all of this, but that does not preclude the conversation from being had, because there can be waivers granted to improve or remove some of those barriers. So again, open floor, open conversation to anyone. I mean, I don't know if Melina has anything that you guys would like to mention, but or any members, any comments, even, or Julie from IHCA too. So I'll pause right there.
Brandon, maybe just a quick response. You know, we listened in on Director Matney's calls last week with both providers and members, and you can't listen to those calls and not just feel like a gut punch, and you know, understand the frustration of those members in trying to access services. And really, you know, I think we all came away from that call thinking, how do we solve this? How do we become part of the solution around this? And I know Jennifer is very interested in trying to figure out how can we help, you know, our members eventually get access to those services that right now people are struggling to get. And so we want to be part of the solution. We're open to ideas, and look forward to working with providers as well as the state to try and find a solution, and the other MCOs. We're all in this together, and you know, their members could be become our members, and you know, we need to work collaboratively with the other MCOs to figure out how to solve this for those individuals.
Absolutely. And I'll also say, like, it was very much there was very much no blaming going around or anything like that. Obviously, you can provide the services that you're able to safely provide, and services that you're able to financially provide. Obviously, yeah, you all are running or billing for businesses, and you need to make sure that your businesses are able to be sustainable, and that is completely understood. And so that is why, you know, we're really looking at any and all solutions, understanding that obviously funding is one of the solutions, but anything else that could be done to improve your experience as a provider to then be able to maybe provide more services or better utilize some of your staff's time, which I think could be accomplished through telehealth. You know, obviously that there are billing challenges that exist, and I can more freely say that, I think, on this call, because Melina is obviously not providing care right now. They are actively trying to troubleshoot against issues that currently exist for providers. But it's true that issues exist and have existed since 2016 with managed care. And those, to me, need to be resolved before we are able to really have meaningful discussion about providers being able to take on more clients. Because we need to be able to effectively be paid properly for the services being provided first, before we can talk about providing more services and more complex services in the future. And so that's obviously a challenge, and that challenge was relayed on to everyone on the call. But I know, like I said, Melina has indicated an intent and a desire to really troubleshoot those issues on the front end before even coming and providing services to Iowans. And so that is, I guess that's part of why I feel like I can more freely discuss this with the group that's on the call right now. So again, I will pause. I know we have a few minutes here before we need to move on to our next call, but any other thoughts? I know we took on some comments from the previous call, but if there's any other thoughts or agreement, I guess one question I would have is, can you verify with me that EOBs is still an issue or a major issue for you if you're a home health or a nursing facility provider, whether just in the chat, like a yes or something like that, if that is still a major issue for you, I'd like to verify that. I don't get that feedback as often anymore because I think it's just been in place for 7 years that it's been a problem. So if you could verify that for me in the chat, I would appreciate that with even just a yes or a why or whatever, or a no. If it's no, then that's great too. But then we can redirect some of our efforts another direction. Another one would be same day services. If you're providing multiple services on the same day, oftentimes there have been struggles where the second service is denied for duplicate. Is that still an issue? If so, I don't know. Yes, again, if you've already responded, yes. Just so I can make sure that I'm on the same page when relaying the experiences of you all to the department. I see L6. Tony, can you remind me what L6 is? I know we've discussed L6 before. And then there was a third one. Oh, if there's any kind of Advantage plan or Medicare Advantage plan claims being run through the wrong payer. Those have been at least the three most talked about pain points that I'm aware of from members. And so if you are having some issues with that, obviously we'd like to take care of and work on improving that experience as we're talking about taking on additional clients. So. And any other major denial issues, if you have them, I think throw them in the chat because I see that most of this team is writing down, you know, what we're talking about here as we're talking about it. So if you have things like that, feel free to throw those in there as well. Okay, primary insurer resubmit. Yeah, so that's the Medicare EOB thing.
And just to clarify, someone mentioned in the chat, when they're billed on the same line for that second service being denied as due, they are not denying, or is it more of a modifier issue? When they bill with a modifier, it's denying.
I'm just going to unmute myself because it's easier.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Dawn.
If you do two home health aid visits on the same day and you bill them on two separate lines, the second line will always deny. If you bill them on one line as two services, then usually you can get them paid that way.
Good to know. And for anyone else who has that issue. Okay. I guess it's good, not good, but good to know that I am on the same page as you all as far as the experiences and, you know, some of the challenges that exist for you all providing services. And that way I'm able to accurately relay those experiences on. Again, I think that the group that met yesterday, and I know that that provider and member group that met last week is really focusing on ways to improve experiences for individuals to be able to receive care in the community if that's the most appropriate setting for them. And really we're just looking at creative ways to improve that process for all three of our providers. We had hospitals on the call. We had critical access hospitals. We had all kinds of different, we had hospice. We had, you know, all kinds of different providers represented in this group. And so we're not, you know, precluding any provider type from being a participant and aiding with providing some of this care. So Julie, I'll pause there. I know you unmuted yourself if you had anything you wanted to add.
You saw me. Just a quick question to folks. Getting denials. Are they still upholding the appeals the first time around? That'd be a yes. Okay. So you're still having to put quite a bit of work in the appeals process then. Perfect. Okay. Well, not perfect, but I mean,
Yeah, right.
I did relay that yesterday that we were still using a lot of administrative time and burden in the appeals process. So I want to be sure I was correctly relaying that.
All right, cool. Well, that gets us to time here for this call. I appreciate our representatives from Molina Healthcare joining us today, as always, and then we'll continue to meet again, as usually the second Wednesday at 11 for you folks. So appreciate it, and we will be chatting soon, I'm sure.
Thanks for giving us some time today, and we look forward to continuing to meet with you and work with you. And as we go live on 7-1, continue the discussion as issues pop up.
Awesome. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thanks.